Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Good Wednesday evening. Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday. Got a lot to get into this week. We're going to preview Wisconsin football showdown with Rutgers. Also, we're going to have Bucks studio host Justin Garcia talk about Milwaukee getting Damian Lillard. We'll also discuss what the Packers need to correct from Thursday's letdown against Detroit. Plus, I make my NFL Week 5 predictions. And if you had a really crummy day, well, here I am.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
First, we're going to get into the Milwaukee Brewers, though. I got the chance to sit down with Hunter Baumgart earlier today to get his thoughts on Milwaukee's Game 1 letdown against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Let's take a listen to what he has to say and preview Game 2 tonight between Milwaukee and Arizona.
Here he comes, and that one's deep, right center, Christian Yelich has tied it up!
All right, we're going to open up the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Welcoming back to the show, 97.3 The Game executive producer, Hunter Baumgart. Hunter, welcome back to the show. Thank you once again for joining me.
Absolutely. Always happy to join you, Alex, and looking forward to the conversation.
Absolutely. Let's get right into this here. The Brewers are currently in the midst of their wild card series with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They lost last night 6-3. It was a struggle for the Brewers, obviously, Hunter, but what do you think was the biggest reason why the Brewers lost Game 1?
Oh, that's a great question, Alex. Last night was just it was one of those games where, like, you almost would have rather lost like 10-0 because you kept getting your hopes up only to have them dashed. And like, it was, you look at Corbin Burns, right? And Corbin Burns is your ace. With Corbin Burns on the mound and Brandon Woodruff out, you have to win when Corbin Burns is on the mound in the playoffs because
yes,
he's your number one guy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't win when Corbin Burns is on the mound in the playoffs, that's really going to make it tough for you to win a series, especially a three-game series. And now you're looking at a situation where the Brewers have their backs against the wall. I think, to me, the biggest reason why they lost wasn't necessarily Corbin Burns. Yes, he gave up 3 home runs. That's not what you want out of Corbin Burns. And also, Devin Williams didn't pitch well in the ninth.
No, he did not.
But the Brewers had 17 base runners last night and scored 3 runs. So the first team to put that many men or more on base and score no more than 3 runs in a playoff game since 2011. So that's how rare this happens, where the Brewers, the people were like going into the series, I'm worried about the offense. I'm like, I'm not worried about the offense. It's just the timely hitting. And last night they really had no timely hitting.
You're absolutely right.
For the first inning. Yeah, except for the first inning and the Tyrone Taylor homer. So I think I think the biggest reason they lost last night was just the stranded base runners. They left 11 on base and they got 12 hits.
Yeah, there you go. Hunter, you mentioned Corbin Burns. He lasted just 4 innings, giving up 3 home runs, 4 total runs, 5 hits overall. What do you think was the biggest reason why he struggled so much with this Arizona team?
You know, it's interesting because he pitched against them back in June and gave up, you know, 6 or 7 runs in the first inning. And that was at American Family Field. And I thought to myself, I wonder how this is going to go the third time. Because he had also, on the flip side, went 8 shutout innings against them in Arizona in April. So I'm like, well, we're going to have one of two sides. And this time it was kind of in the middle. But the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Tony Lovello, said, we just kind of looked at what we did in June against him to have so much success. And then did that again. And just sat on the pitches that they thought were coming. And I'll tell you, I mean, Corbin Carroll is going to be quite a player.
Yes, he is.
His home run, just that's a pitch where usually Corbin Burns does not give up a home run. And he went down, grabbed it, and put it out. And that was, you know, that's all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden, the next pitch is a homer. 2 pitches, you're tied at 3. I think that was just a stun. I think the Brewers are probably a little stunned, but they kept fighting with runners on base, just couldn't get the timely hit. But Corbin Burns, he just said after the game that he wasn't executing his pitches as much as he would have liked, and that just he wasn't the dominant Corbin Burns we've seen. And you could kind of see that in the first inning, because it was an 18-pitch inning.
Right.
He went 1-2-3, but he wasn't super dominant. Like, he wasn't you know, getting a ton of swing and miss. But he got through the first couple of innings scoreless, and you're thinking, okay, you know, he's got 40-some pitches already. That's not great.
No.
He pitches into the fifth inning with 92 pitches. And with 92 pitches into the fifth, that doesn't set you up well, especially when you don't have your next ace, Brandon Woodruff, to pitch game two. So, yeah, it was just about executing pitches. He just didn't execute when the time was needed in the playoffs.
And also, we're talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3, the game here on the Sports Q and WJJQ. Hunter, I think another big reason was that the Brewers used so many arms in their bullpen last night. You had Elvis Baguero come out. You had Joel Piams come out. Abner Uribe come out. Bryce Wilson, Devin Williams. That hampers your bullpen going forward for tonight, at least, and maybe even for game three if you're able to extend this series. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it was basically kind of the worst-case scenario for the Brewers last night. It was just like, if you would have told me if that would have been game one, that almost would have been worst case, because you're going to have to rely on whether they won or lost last night. I mean, if they would have won, it wouldn't have been worst-case scenario, because it would have won the game and you're in the driver's seat for the series.
Yep.
But you did that and you lost, and now you've got, if you win tonight with Freddie Peralta on the mound, you've got, you know, at least you need Freddie Peralta to go deep tonight.
Yes.
You look at the roster, you look at the wild card roster, they had 11 pitchers, right? They used 7 of them last night, including, and the only 4 that didn't were Freddie Peralta, who's going to start tonight, Wade Miley, who's been a starter, Colin Ray, who's been a starter, and then Trevor Megill. So you're really only real bullpen arm is Trevor Megill. Now, are they going to use Miley and Ray out of the bullpen if they need to? Yes, I would think Miley is probably the last. I would think, well, Miley's probably set up to go game three and if they would win tonight. But again, it's win or go home tonight, so you wonder if they'll use him if they really need it at some point. But I'm going to guess if you need him to go 6 and probably would like him to go 7.
Yeah.
And who knows? You know, Devin Williams has pitched back-to-back days this season, but he pitched 31 pitches last night.
He did.
So it wasn't like he came out and got, like, 3 outs and only threw 17, 18 pitches. He threw 31, so I don't know how taxed that's going to be. I don't know what Council's going to do. It's win or go home, but also if you use Williams tonight, then what happens tomorrow? So there's so many, Council, hey, look, he's one of the best at using his bullpen, if not the best in the majors, so I trust what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going all out to win that game. When Devin Williams came in last night and it was only 4-3 and it was a non-save situation, I'm like, wow, this guy, he's going all out to win this baseball game. And unfortunately, Devin Williams didn't have it. He said he just couldn't land his changeup, and that's a big pitch for Devin Williams. And so since that was the case, they got the 2 runs off of him, and it kind of backfired on everybody. But, yeah, they have a taxed bullpen, so you need Freddie to go deep tonight.
Yeah, let's go ahead and expand more on the loss, because we got the news before the wild card series started that Brandon Woodruff was not going to operate. Clearly, I don't think it goes without saying, Hunter, it's a big loss for the Cruz rotation, especially in a 3-game series against a very good offensive team in Arizona.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And whether they win this series and go on, and that's huge there, too. I know they said he's out for this series, but he's getting a second opinion this week. I'd say there's a very, 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 very low possibility he pitches again this season if they advance. It's a huge loss, and if they lose this series, especially if they lose these 2 games, if they lose tonight, then you got to look back to me and look back at, did that take the wind out of the sails? Because this team was cruising. This team won 2 out of 3 against St. Louis, 2 out of 3 against the Cubs in meaningless games, but they still won them, and they had momentum going into the postseason. Their bats were still hitting well. Their pitching was fantastic. They shut out the Cubs in the last day of the season, and they went 27-13 in their last 40 games. They were riding a momentum into the postseason, something they didn't do in 2021 when they won the division like 10 days before the end of the season and then coasted and then just were flat against the Braves.
Right.
That's not what this team did. But then they get the news on Monday that Brandon Woodruff's out. I wonder if that took a little bit of the wind out of the sails. Now, they're going to say, next man up, you got to rise up. Yelich said you got to be resilient.
Yes.
We faced adversity all year. We went you know, and I asked Matt Arnold, the GM, about, hey, you went 4 months without Woodruff this season. Do you feel like you can still cover, you know, that, basically do that again? He said, yeah, that gives us a little more confidence. But, you know, and this is me talking now, not Matt Arnold, but I'm saying, you know, now it's just a different animal. That was a big advantage for the Brewers. There's no team in the NL, and maybe even baseball, that had a better top three in their rotation in Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta.
I would agree.
The advantage for the Brewers. The offense, you know, has gotten better in the last 2 months, mm-hmm. but it's definitely not up there with some of the other teams in the postseason.
No, it is not.
That's where you neutralize that. That's where you neutralize that, is those three top pitchers. And when you lose one of those three, that's going to make it really tough to go on a deep playoff run. But the good news is you have Freddie Peralta, and we'll see what he can do tonight. But I just wonder, if they lose this series, how much that really did have an effect on that clubhouse.
Let's go ahead and expand more on tonight's game here, Hunter, as we're talking with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Game 2, obviously, tonight at American Family Field. It's Freddie Peralta against Arizona's ace, Zach Gallen, who's been one of the better pitchers in the National League this season. What do the Brewers need to do to stay alive and force this to a Game 3?
Yeah, I think a couple of keys. One is try to get on him early. Try to, you know, try to make something happen early. Zach Gallen, you know, like you said, is a fantastic pitcher. I believe this will be his first postseason start. So, you know, try to, as much as you can, get on him early, you know, put pressure on him. They did a really good job against Bott last night of doing that, you know, getting, because he's a rookie, so getting him kind of rattled early. They scored one run in the first, two runs in the second. They put pressure on him in the third. I think that type of thing is going to be big, just to try to get him off his rocker a little bit, and kind of do the blueprint's almost what they did to Burns last night. Take pitches, make him work, see if you can get that pitch count up, because the weakness of the Diamondbacks, even though they did throw 6 1/3 shutout last night, believe it or not, the weakness of their team is their bullpen. So you'd love to get into that bullpen sooner rather than later. And I know last night they didn't come up with a timely hit, but I got to think, if they have all those chances against the bullpen tonight, that they're going to come through. That's just how baseball works usually. Some nights you come through, some nights you don't. And
yep.
And sometimes, and so I think it's going to kind of be, you know, they'll have a better chance at that tonight. But Zach Gallen could also go 7 shutouts. You've got to get on him early. I think early in this game is going to be big. You see if Freddie Peralta's on. And so I think that's the key. Get on Gallen early, and then Freddie Peralta going deep in this game, like we talked about, 6 or 7 innings. And then you can hand it off to, you know, Abner Uribe maybe can pitch again. Piguero, he had a quick one. You know, Milner didn't throw a ton, so maybe you could go Milner in the 7th, maybe an Abner in the 8th, and Yoel in the 9th if you don't have Devin or something like that. Because they're, you know, guys that pitch, if they're winning this game, the guys that pitched last night, there's going to be some guys that have to pitch tonight.
Like, oh,
right.
You
can't go through and not pitch any of the guys that pitched last night. It's the playoffs. You know, you have a whole offseason, it's win or go home. So I have a feeling they're going to still do that. But Freddie going deep and get to Gallen early is going to be big.
Again, the Brewers take on the Diamondbacks tonight. Game 2 of the Wild Card Series. First pitch at 6 o'clock from American Family Field. We'll provide updates on the game throughout the duration of the show here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Hunter Baumgart, thank you very much for joining me on today's show, and good luck out there.
Thank you. Hey, the environment was absolutely fantastic last night. The environment's fantastic tonight. I think, you know, either way, whatever happens, playoff baseball is an amazing atmosphere to be a part of. So, you know, we got to cherish the times that the Brewers are in the playoffs, because it's not been, as you listeners know, as Brewers fans know, it's not an everyday occurrence. So
yes,
we'll try to cherish the moments, and let's see if we can force Game 3.
Hunter Baumgart, 97.3 The Game. Hunter, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, coming up after the break, we're going to talk with Justin Garcia to get what his thoughts are on the Damian Lillard trade coming to Milwaukee. We'll get his thoughts next on the Sports Q here on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
The Good Stewart Express features a large selection of hunting products for the fall season. Check out Brian's selection of archery equipment, from crossbows to custom-cut arrows. Choose from a variety of tree stands, the muddy enclosed hunting blind and ladder stands, ammunition, scopes, deer scents, feeds, hunting clothing, boots, and so much more. The Good Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, ready for the fall hunting season.
Make sure your furnace is ready for the upcoming Northwoods winter with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilge's LP Gas. Bringing comfort to your home is Hilge's LP Gas of Tomahawk's top priority, and with a complete lineup of furnace systems, Carrier and Hilge's are dedicated to improving your quality of life by creating a comfortable, healthy living environment. Remember last winter? Well, yeah, don't wait until the snow flies this year. Get your new Carrier furnace now. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilge's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue, or Hilge's.com online. Call Hilge's at 453-3505.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with serving starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Nothing like a little heavy metal for your Wednesday. Love me some Metallica. Well, now that we got the Brewers out of the way, thank you once again to Hunter Baumgard for joining me on tonight's show. Let's go ahead and dive into the Bucks, shall we?
Holiday rips it away! 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it! How about that?
All right, let's go ahead and dive into it. Currently joining me now, very special guest here for the Sports Q here on WJJQ. I have on the line WTMJ Bucks studio host, Justin Garcia. Justin, thank you very much for joining me and welcome to the show.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Justin, no time to get right into this, obviously. It's hard to believe we're 3 weeks out from the NBA season. Let's go ahead and go back to last Wednesday when my jaw was essentially hanging on the floor. I want to get what your initial reaction was to Damian Lillard being traded to Milwaukee.
Pretty similar to yours. I learned of it through one of the NBA writers, Mark Stein. I'm part of one of his discords, and I saw a notification pop up on my phone from that chat of, man, how would the Bucks have the assets for Damian Lillard? And I just assumed, you know, it was people kicking around, the Bucks are linked to this, but how could they possibly do it?
Yeah.
And then I started to get bombarded with texts and realizing, holy cow, they actually did this. We had talked about this a couple of different spots a couple of months ago, really, when these I guess, rumors first surfaced that the Bucks were interested. And I think myself, a few others that I was talking to, we were all kind of the mindset of it makes sense, and I would definitely take Damian Lillard, but I just don't see how the Bucks have the assets to do it. And, you know, that's, to me, the biggest thing to take from this is I've said that a number of times with various trades the last few years, and yet John Horst finds a way to do it that, you know, I think Bucks fans rightfully appreciate him and rate him where he should be. But when you take things like that into account, none of us thought the Bucks had the assets to get Damian Lillard. It took some creativity. The Bucks were fortunate that you had a team like the Suns that needed to offload DeAndre Ayton, mm-hmm. and that kind of helped the assets that you were sent back. You think to when they acquired Drew Holiday, that was another one. It made sense, and
yep.
the Bucks were certainly interested in him. But it was the same thing of, well, why would the Pelicans be interested in a package centering around Eric Bledsoe, and I don't think they have the assets for this. So time and time again, John Horst has just found ways to make these moves happen.
And again, let's go ahead, John, to cut you off, Justin. The biggest thing I think to take away from this is that we don't see Wisconsin teams swing for the fences in terms of trades. We've seen them swing for the fences in terms of free agents, like the best example, Lorenzo Cain coming to the Brewers. We think about Charles Woodson coming to the Packers. This is very rarefied air to get a name like Damian Lillard to come to Milwaukee. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's funny because when the Bucks made the trade for Drew Holiday, there was a lot of subtle comparisons to, what, 50 years ago, 48, whatever it was, when the Bucks traded for Oscar Robertson.
Yes.
And I think everybody kind of added the caveat of, Well, Drew Holiday, not quite the stature of Oscar Robertson, but this feels like the same type of move. This one, all the way down to a T, feels like that type of move, where Damian Lillard's advance in his career, one of the best players to play position, one of the 75 best players in the game, and he's certainly on the back nine in his career, not to say that he's rapidly declining,
yeah.
But that's similar to Oscar Robertson and just how special he is. I mean, the Bucks have not had a player like Damian Lillard, certainly, but, you know, 27 other teams in this league have not had a player like this.
That's a very fair point, yes. So, obviously, as we're talking here with TMG studio host Justin Garcia here on the Sports Q and WJJQ, Justin, with Lillard in Milwaukee, both Drew Holiday and Grayson Allen are on. Holiday has eventually landed in Boston. Grayson Allen is now in Phoenix. There is a vacant starter spot. Who would you like to see take that fifth spot?
So we haven't really gotten much from Adrian Griffin yet in terms of that question. I think some of the interesting things, not to, to completely divert here, but
sure.
Some of the interesting stuff we have gotten from Adrian Griffin, I think, is an idea of how they're going to play. I think they're going to use their size and be very physical. And I think one of the other things that stood out that he really mentioned a couple of times at Media Day on Monday was, you know, we're going to be very prepared. We're going to know our opponent's tendencies and what they want to do. And I think that is how you kind of offset the absence of a defender like a Drew Holiday, that we know what they're going to do before they do it, and we're prepared for it. So all of that, bringing it together, you couple that with the fact that whoever the fifth starter is, they're not going to need to score. When you've got Damian Lillard and Giannis together, you got Chris Middleton, and oh, by the way, Brooke Lopez can still score 20 a night. That fifth starter just has to hit open shots and play defense. I don't know that it's going to be immediate, but it really seems like the door is wide open for Marjon Beauchamp, and especially for the fact that, look, you need a wing defender at some point, whether that's via trade or if it's Marjon Beauchamp, Andre Jackson, one of the young guys developing. You need somebody to take on those assignments, and to me, this screams a big opportunity for Marjon. I know people have kicked around Pat Connaughton or Malik Beasley. Beasley, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense because of the offense that you already have.
Yes.
Pat, I think, is best served coming off the bench and kind of your Swiss Army guy. So I think this is a prime opportunity for Marjon Beauchamp, and I'm going to be curious to see if that is who starts and what some of the rotations look like starting Sunday when the preseason begins.
Again, talking here with Bucks TMJ studio analyst Justin Garcia here in the Sports Going WJJQ. Justin, one aspect of this trade that I think is getting overlooked a bit is the fact that Damian Lillard is reuniting with his old head coach Terry Stotts in Milwaukee. He's going to be Adrian Griffin's head assistant. Do you think having him will benefit Damian in Milwaukee ultimately?
I mean, I think it certainly adds to the comfort level immediately, and he kind of talked about that a little bit on Monday. Also, I mean, he and Pat Connaughton had a pretty good relationship the couple of years that Pat spent in Portland, and Pat and Dame both talked about that a little bit on Monday as well. So he has those two familiar faces that he's going to be joining here. But the Terry Stotts piece, he already joked, you know, Terry already showed me when I met with him Sunday night, I think he had said it was, Terry already showed me, like, look, we still have these plays from the playbook in Portland. So I think, to me, that's the interesting part, is even before the Bucks acquired Damian Lillard, I was most curious to see what this offense was going to look like, because I think it's fair to say they did leave a lot on the table offensively the last couple of years. That was their big issue, and sure, injuries were a part of it, but offensively they just seemed to underachieve in the postseason. So I was already curious to see what are some of the things that Adrian Griffin sees here that he's going to do differently, what's some of the low-hanging fruit he thinks the Bucks weren't capturing. And then you add in Terry Stotts as one of the co-top assistants and his background offensively. That, to me, was going to help out the offense immensely. But now you add Damian Lillard, and I think everybody's pointed to the pick and roll with Giannis and how do you defend that. But
yes.
To me, it's just the pick and roll period, because the Bucks ran, it may have been the fewest amount, but it was certainly low, bottom five in terms of the amount of times they ran a pick and roll last year and really the last 5 years under Bud. It just wasn't a staple in their offense. And not only Dame and Giannis that we've all envisioned, man, how do you defend that? But Brook Lopez, we talked about his ability to score and really kind of finding the fountain of youth the last couple of years.
Yes.
His best moments offensively last year were when it was he paired up with Joe Ingles and they were on the floor together and they would run that pick and roll. So when you add Dame to the mix, it's not just Giannis. It's everybody that he can get going because of that gravity that he has.
So let's go ahead and wrap things up here, Justin, with a very quick question for you. Obviously, Lillard and Giannis make Milwaukee arguably the favorite coming out of the East. You could argue Boston as well, but the trio that they have now of Tatum, Brown, and now Holiday. How much pressure do you think is on Adrian Griffin to make this work?
So I kind of think this deal has taken a lot of pressure off of him because now the attention is on Giannis and Damian Lillard, and it's kind of the afterthought of, oh, by the way, not only is it a new head coach, but it's a rookie head coach that, you know, save for a handful of times when he filled in for Nick Nurse, he has never done this before. So in a strange way, I think this kind of alleviates some of the pressure, whereas if this team was just basically running the whole thing back again,
right,
and the only change was the head coach, if you start off slow, if you have injuries that kind of add to that record, you start to look at it and you say, well, what's the future of Giannis? Was this guy the right hire? And now all of that stuff is out the window.
I would definitely agree. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. Justin, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, I think obviously we've all kind of said that the Bucks and the Celtics are in a class by their own. We've seen nothing to dispute that so far. I would add this to the Bucks fans that I know are getting a lot in their feelings and up in arms over all of a sudden the Celtics label as the front runners. It doesn't matter
who
media says is the leader in the clubhouse right now, right? Like, it doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter in March. It matters how you're playing in April and May. And look, were the Bucks the favorite to win the title the year that they did? No. Going into the season, it was the Nets, a handful of teams, and then once you got late and you saw what the Bucks were doing, they were in the mix. The following year, they were the favorites. And we saw an injury was a big piece of it, but they didn't win the title.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics, Heat, none of those teams were the favorites last year. So it's fun for us to have these conversations over who's set up the best, but you just don't know until you get late in the season. And I think both the Bucks and the Celtics still have moves to make here. The Bucks need to find some wing defenders, that, and the Celtics need to shore up their depth. But it is safe to say those two teams are in a class by themselves. So teams like the Sixers, the Cavs, and so on, there's a pretty big drop-off after those two teams. So long as these two teams stay healthy, it should be a fun playoff.
Again, the Milwaukee Bucks will open up their preseason this Sunday with the Bulls coming to Pfizer Forum. Tip-off is at noon. Bucks season begins on October 26th against the Sixers. Justin Garcia, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yep. You have a great day, sir. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It is now time for the latest update from CBS News.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. President Biden reacted today to the House ousting Kevin McCarthy for working with Democrats on a new spending bill.
Twice in the last 6 months, both houses came together on a bipartisan basis. Once to avoid default, once to keep the government open. And while we should never have been in the situation in the first place, I'm grateful that leaders on both sides came together, including former Speaker McCarthy, to do the right thing.
But Mr. Biden says he is concerned by the dysfunction on Capitol Hill and urged Congress to keep working. New Speaker candidates could make a run for the role as soon as next week. More than 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers are on strike. They want a pay bump, but they also want help.
I work in message unit, and we never, ever have enough staffing. It comes from not enough nursing, not enough support staff.
And it's not just a problem there in California. Workers are picketing in 5 states and Washington, D.C. New York Attorney General Letitia James is putting her foot down in Donald Trump's civil fraud trial.
I will not be bullied. And so Mr. Trump is no longer here. The Donald Trump show is over. This was nothing more than a political stunt. a fundraising stop.
The former president has dragged everything about this trial, including James calling her incompetent despite a gag order. For about a minute today, the entire country was on alert.
It was the seventh nationwide test of the emergency alert system, but only the second test sent to cell phones. FEMA did the test in coordination with the FCC. Since 2015, FEMA has required under federal law to test the system at least once every 3 years. All participants, like cable and cell phone companies, are required to file information to the government about how the test went for them.
CBS's Matt Piper reporting there. FEMA says if you didn't get that alert, your phone was either off or it's too old. Apple released a software update today to fix its overheating iPhone 15 models. Tech expert Ian Schur.
For Apple, of course, having an answer and offering a fix quickly is really important. People who might be upgrading are thinking about what device they might buy during the holiday shopping season. The last thing Apple wants is there ever to be an asterisk next to anyone's recommendations.
Gold medalists for the seventh straight time.
Team USA won a record seventh team title today at the Gymnastics World Championships in Belgium. Simone Biles led the team, making her the most decorated female gymnast now in history, with a combined 33 medals from Worlds and the Olympics. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
In this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No, we tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments. Clearly, different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
People are seeing some shocking messages south of the border.
With their dad in a U.S. prison for life, El Chapo's sons may be turning a new page, or at least putting a new face on their massive Mexican drug operation. Their Sinaloa cartel has put up roadside banners signed by Los Chapitos, their nickname, south of the border. They announced production and sales of fentanyl have been banned in the state. Analysts doubt they would abandon such a lucrative business. The four brothers took over their father's criminal empire when he was extradited to the U.S. in 2017. The youngest, Chapito, was extradited last month. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Uber drivers can now handle your mail. The ride-hailing company says its drivers can now collect up to 5 prepaid and sealed packages and drop them off for you at the post office, UPS, or FedEx. Uber One members get charged a flat $5 fee. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:06 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. This is the midway point of the sports queue here on WJJQ. Rain has let up here in the Northwoods, 64 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Here is Tony Schumacher with your weather forecast.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, look for clouds increasing with a slight chance of showers before morning. Low temperature in the low 60s with south winds of 8 to 15. Mostly cloudy and cooler tomorrow, some spotty showers or a thunderstorm possible. High in the low 70s with southwest winds around 15 turning to the west. Thursday, variably cloudy, high in the mid 60s. 40% chance of some light showers in the afternoon or evening. Friday, mostly cloudy, breezy and cool. Scattered showers, high of only 49. And Saturday, partly or mostly cloudy, a few sprinkles, high 48, dry Sunday with a high of 51. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
And welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening.
Well, we've had two interviews already. We sat down with Hunter Baumgart to preview the Brewers and the Diamondbacks game two, which is just about ready to get underway. We also talked with Justin Garcia about Damian Lillard coming to Milwaukee. And now we're going to go ahead and turn to the local scene. Currently joining me in studio is Tomahawk head cross country coach Connor Ahrens. Connor, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Alex, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Let's go ahead, jump right into this here. Hard to believe that the season is almost over already. What have you thought of your team's performance so far this regular season?
Well, throughout the regular season, it's been obviously some ups and downs that you expect from a regular season, but it's been very good. I mean, honestly, with the second year of being a head coach, I had to make some adjustments from the first year. But it's more with the kids that we've been coaching. They've been very receptive of the training, and they've been doing the hard work, and it's been showing off, and I hope it really pays when we start tapering later this season.
Yeah, a lot of top finishes from your squad, including second place finishes last week at Medford. What was the biggest reason why you think you finished as high as you did last week?
Well, honestly, I think it's the mental aspect of running. It's often overlooked with runners. I mean, so much of our training is literally on a piece of paper, looking at the mileage, looking at the workouts. But honestly, if the heads aren't in the right space, then none of it's going to matter, especially come race day. And our kids, I mean, they were looking forward to this Medford invite. And so both teams taking second place just shows that they were in the right mental headspace to be able to run that race that day. The girls going up against Medford, doing what they could with what they had. And the boys just showing what they could against Ashland, which was fantastic to see.
Again, talking here with Tomahawk head cross-country coach Connor Ahrens here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Connor, there are eight seniors that are on this team. What are you going to remember the most about this particular senior class?
Well, it's a larger group than we had last year, which is awesome. And the fact that it's a larger group, they've all brought some different dynamics to the team. Like the fact with our boys, with Presley, Owen, and Trey, I mean, and Trey's new to the team, they all brought different aspects and different parts of kind of their learning of running, and then some of them their veteran leadership to the program, and then some kind of incorporating getting all the guys to be involved. And on the girls' side, it's the same story, and there's even more of them. I mean, the fact that they all can kind of talk to every single runner on the team and bring everybody in to where we are one group and one unit is, I mean, speaks volumes about this senior group that we are honestly going to miss dearly.
So, obviously, have you, as this season has gone on, your team has had a lot of really good performances, a lot of good top finishes. What do you think was your team's best performance of the season so far?
Oh, honestly, to me, it's really hard to pick just one. I mean, this Medford recent race was awesome just because I know a lot of the kids were looking forward to it, and they performed well, and that is literally what you're looking to see before, during, and after a competition.
Yep.
Another one that sticks out to me is probably our Menominee Mustang Relays. A decent amount of the kids were nervous for that one going into it, and rightfully so, because we're going up against a lot of big Division I schools, some
yeah.
Division II schools that are fantastic, Division III schools that are going to be in the state meet this year.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids showed up, and they were not scared, and they ran fantastic races that day. So that's one of my favorite meets.
Again, talking here with Tomahawk head cross-country coach Connor Ahrens here on WJJQ. Connor, why don't you give me a couple of underclassmen and women that you think have exceeded expectations this season?
Well, I can start with one of the easiest ones, and obviously it's going to be Elise Jebo coming
yep.
in as a freshman. I mean, not to be daunted by some of your own teammates and some of the races, and going from a 2-mile race to a 5K, it is a big jump.
Yes, it is.
And, I mean, she has handled it fantastic. I mean, not only, I mean, competitive-wise, but also in practice. I mean, it almost looks like she's a veteran amongst the team when we're doing practice, and she knows what she needs to do when we're warming up, when we're cooling down in the middle of the workouts, and she's kept it very controlled, which she's benefiting from a lot of that training. And on the boys, on the flip side, I mean, the true freshman Drew Vormans has been fantastic for us, and I mean, he's coming into this sport with little to no running experience or sporting background, and he's doing fantastic. And another guy that sticks out that I just thought of is Dominic Booz. I mean, he's a newcomer to the team, and he's running up there with our top two varsity boys. So, I mean, those two boys have stuck out numerous times, multiple meets, both of them dropping time almost every meet if you look at some of the timesheets. And it's awesome to see because it pushes the entire team forward when you've got some of those younger guys and gals pushing the tone and setting the pace for some of these upperclassmen. It kind of wakes up the team and invigorates the team at the same time with, hey, they can do it. I should be able to. I've got the mileage under me too. It's fantastic.
That definitely makes sense. So let's go ahead and talk very briefly about your meet. It's your home meet, your final meet of the regular season here at Inshallah Country Club. Let's start off with previewing the competition as a whole here. Who do you think is going to be some of your toughest opponents in this particular meet this Saturday?
Great question. Well, honestly, on the girls' side, because Medford will not be there, and that's one of our biggest competition pieces within the conference, but Mosinee has a couple of really good runners on the girls' side. They've got their upper 1, 2, and 3 are fantastic. They kind of fizzle out a little bit later, but then again, we're getting later in the season where a lot of teams could taper and they could run some really good times that we haven't seen yet. So you honestly, you totally never know. And Rhinelander, their girls' team is actually pretty good too. When they all show up at the same day, they could be very lethal. And on the boys' side, it's obviously going to be Lakeland. I mean, Lakeland's one conference last year, I believe, and the year before, and with Owen Clark, their front runner, I mean, he's fantastic, and he's built a team behind him that runs with him, and I mean, Lakeland's really good, so if our boys can show up and compete against them, it'd be a great day.
And then my final question is for you, what are you expecting from this particular meet this Saturday?
Well, honestly, I'm expecting kind of a morale boost because it's our home invite. We've got our home crowd there. Usually we have great representation from the community. Even though it's not at the historic Edgewater Country Club now, it's at Inshallah. We still have a large drove of people that come out and support the team, which is fantastic. So the kids get to hear a lot more hatchet and hollering and a lot more of their name being called. So it's a big morale boost. And then this year, the fact that we love homecoming, but the fact that the home meet is not directly after homecoming, that'll help just with getting a good night's sleep and being ready for the meet and being on a course that now we're a little more familiar with after, because now it's year 2 running on that course. So it's going to be very good, I think, this second time through.
Well, at least the kids will be getting a lot of sleep. I won't, because I'll be in Westfield the night before for football. All right, again, Connor Ahrens, head cross-country coach for Tomahawk. Their meet, again, is at Inshallah Country Club. It'll begin at 10 o'clock. We'll have the Fairman Orthodontics Coaches Show beginning at 9:45. Connor Ahrens, thank you very much for joining me.
Well, Alex, thank you much. I appreciate it. Thank you for the support.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. Look, coming up after the break, we'll go ahead and break down what went wrong for Green Bay in their performance against Detroit on Thursday night. You're turned into the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
Whether you grew up with a Fluffer Nutter sandwich packed in your lunchbox, or you're known to add a swipe of peanut butter to your s'more, Dairy Queen's Royal Blizzard Reese's Fluffer Nutter is a flavor combo you don't want to miss. At the center of Royal Reese's Fluffer Nutter Blizzard, surrounded by our world-famous soft serve, mixed with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and marshmallow. Relive your childhood with Dairy Queen's Royal Reese's Fluffer Nutter Blizzard. Nobody does ice cream like Dairy Queen. Open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Located on North 4th Street, overlooking the Wisconsin River.
It is Ram Power Days and Egg Season at Frickner Motors on Little Chicago's northeast side. Take advantage of over 19 new 2023 Ram heavy-duty trucks. Receive $1,500 bonus cash on new 2023 Ram 2500 models and an additional $1,000 on select inventory units. On-the-job rebates still apply for small business owners. Also, during Ram Power Days, new 2023 Ram 1500 Bighorn and Laramie units receive up to $4,000 in total incentives or 2.9% for 72 months. During Jeep Adventure Days, new 2023 Jeep Grand Cherokee L Limited get up to $5,500 in incentives. The popular 10% off MSRP promotion on new 2023 Jeep Compass and Renegade has been extended. The new 2023 Gladiators are now included in the 10% off MSRP. Lots going on during the Ram Power Days and Jeep Adventure Days at Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's northeast side. Just minutes from Wausau, Maryland, Medford. Financed with Chrysler Capital to approved credit. See dealer for details.
Foley's Tree Service, caring for your trees since 1980. This is Ted Foley, ISA certified arborist and second generation family owner. Our employees are trained and educated professionals who respect your property as if it was their own. Whether it is tree removals, pruning, stump grinding, lot and land clearing, tree preservation, or even storm damage cleanup. We are here when you need us. Call us at 715-453-2407, or for our Minocqua listeners, 715-358-2406. Check us out online at foleystreeservice.com. Foley's Tree Service, fully insured and offering free estimates.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Three straight interviews to kick off the show. We had Hunter Bumgard on to talk about the Brewers and their preview of Week 2 of Game 2 tonight, which is going on right now. We also talked to Justin Garcia about the Damian Lillard trade coming to Milwaukee. We just got done talking with Tomahawk cross country coach Connor Ahrens to preview the meet upcoming this Saturday at Inshalla Country Club. Now I'm going to go ahead and offer my take on what happened with Green Bay this past Thursday. Let's get right into it, shall we?
And an opening day dagger!
And for perspective, that's a dagger into the heart of the Packers. That's really what it boiled down to. So let's go ahead and jump right into it here. And really the big thing is, with this Packers team, we knew that it was going to be a long road. So all these Packers fans that are saying, oh, we should be in the Super Bowl this year. We should have beaten Detroit at home. We've owned them for the last 20 years. Yet no. The Green Bay Packers are a young team. They're undisciplined. And they need to learn how to win consistently in this league. No other ways about it. That first half against Detroit last Thursday was some of the worst football I've ever seen Green Bay play in a long time. Now, obviously, Packers fans that are older than me, you probably have seen worse. And so I will go ahead and defer to you. In my lifetime, it is rare that I can sit there and say, that was a terrible half of football by Green Bay. Defense couldn't stop the pass or the run. Otherwise, they were in great shape. The offense couldn't move at all, no matter what they tried. That offensive line could not protect Jordan Love at all last night.
Wah, wah, wah.
Jordan Love was sacked 5 times in the first half, and he was under immense pressure all game long. And a lot of people want to go ahead and put the blame on Joe Barry. And you know what? Joe Barry does deserve some blame. This is the second 200 rushing yard performance that he has given up this season. And people are acting like, well, if they fire him, they could get a better defensive coordinator. You think so? Yes, Green Bay's run defense was terrible last year. You know what Green Bay's pass defense was in 2022, ladies and gentlemen? Top 10. They were 6th in pass defense. Now, you could say that's due to the fact that the opponents like to run on them. And that's okay. I that is totally a very, very fair response to make. But it's very, very hard to be a top 10 defense in any statistical category in the NFL. Jordan Love stats on the day, 23 of 36, 246 yards, touchdown, 2 picks. He did have a rushing touchdown in the fourth quarter. Again, it was under pressure all night long, and I think that that was the first time we saw a really bad game from Jordan Love. This was the first time he let his inexperience show. And it's understandable. I mean, it really is, because this is only his 5th career start in the NFL. It's only his 5th career start. And honestly, to me, he is performing about as well as you can do. He's trying to play complimentary football. He is not making egregious errors. The 2 picks that he had, the second one was bad. The first one was off of Christian Watson's hands. Watson has to come down with that. My opinion, if a receiver gets his hands on the ball, he has to catch it. So again, let's go ahead and focus in on Joe Barry really quickly. 200-yard rushing performances in the first 4 weeks is not good. They gave up 224 rushing yards to the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons have now lost 2 straight games. 2. They lost to Detroit on the road, totally fair, and Jacksonville. And Jacksonville has gotten off to a bit of a shaky start this year for one reason or another. You know, it could be that their offense has become stagnant, which is, you know, a fair statement to make. And it could also be the fact that their defense has been up and down for most of the cases this season. This time they gave up over 200 rushing yards to Detroit. The Packers were outrushed by over 200 yards on Thursday night. The Detroit Lions kicked Green Bay's tail and made it walk in between their legs. Period. End of story. Now, LaFleur was ticked off after the game. And you know what? You get your butt kicked being down 27-3 at halftime. Yeah, you're going to get ticked off, especially in this league. You would be too. I mean, if I was a coach and I was ticked off, I would be ticked off if I was down 27-3. Heck, I'd be ticked off if I was trailing at the half period. But at the same time, this is a very, very good test for Green Bay. Now we get to see how they respond after a butt whooping like that. And looking at their schedule, throughout the month of October and into November, they play the Lions once more. They play them on Thanksgiving this year, which I don't know how that's going to go. We'll see how it plays out because there's still a long time in between those two games. What I can tell you is that the Packers' next few games are winnable. They've got Vegas coming up this Monday. Vegas is a winnable game. And we have no idea who's going to be the quarterback. Is it going to be Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it going to be Aiden O'Connell? Josh McDaniels is a mess. And then after that, Green Bay gets a bye. So this is the chance for them to get healthy and try to regroup. Then after that, they go to Denver. And Denver has, you know, failed expectations this year also. They're 1-3. Their one win was a 21-point comeback up against Chicago last week. Which you'll get into the results in just a second. And then after that, they've got Minnesota. Minnesota got their first win over Carolina. Whoa. After that, Green Bay's got the Rams. Tough game. They go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's offense has been incredibly inconsistent. Then they got the Chargers, and we know what the Chargers do in close-knit situations with Brandon Staley as head coach. Those are the games before Green Bay plays Detroit again. It's going to be very interesting to see how these next three games play out for Green Bay. Vegas, Denver, Minnesota. In my opinion, Green Bay should win all three of those games. Do I think they will? Probably not. But I could see them beating Vegas. I could see them winning at Denver. And I could see them beating Minnesota. Divisional games are always a toss-up, no matter what you're playing or who you're playing, if you will. Now let's quickly go over the results from week 4 in the NFL. Again, Packers lost to the Lions 34-20. Jacksonville over Atlanta 23-7. Rams defeat the Colts in overtime 29-23. Bills over Dolphins 48-20. Minnesota over Carolina 21-13. Philly over Washington in overtime 34-31. Denver over Chicago 31-28. Tampa Bay surprising some people. They beat New Orleans 26-9. Tennessee over Cincinnati. Houston over Pittsburgh 30-6. Baltimore over Cleveland without Deshaun Watson 28-3. Chargers over Vegas 24-17, 49ers over Cardinals 35-16, Dallas over New England 38-3, Kansas City over the Jets 23-20, and the Seahawks over the Giants 24-3. We're going to take another break. When we come back to the flip side, we're going to preview Wisconsin's homecoming showdown with Rutgers. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Schuette Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuette Construction of Tomahawk.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, would like to remind you the cold weather season is on the way. Make sure your furnace is ready. Lennox makes the air warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about the buy one and get one free special on a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat with a qualifying purchase of a heating and cooling unit. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 45. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers, high of 62. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow night. Lows around 43. Partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Nothing wrong with a little bit of The Boss from Bruce Springsteen, Murder Incorporated. Again, a very underrated Bruce Springsteen song. If you want to go ahead and check out that song, listen to it in whole. It is phenomenal. Hope Bruce Springsteen recovers from his pectic ulcer disease soon so that he can get back on tour. Let's get right back into it. Let's go ahead and talk some Badgers as they get set for Rutgers this Saturday night.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
We're back.
Well, let's go ahead and get right into it. Yes, we're back as well. So Wisconsin football takes on Rutgers. Game is going to be broadcast on Peacock. Wisconsin currently sits at 3-1. They are currently topped the Big Ten West. They won their opener at Purdue, though it did come with the loss of Ches Malusi, with him being out. I would expect for this particular game for Braylon Allen to get some more carries. Allen has been sort of, you know, thrown to the side for Malusi, and I think it's more of trying to ingratiate the offense. It's Phil Longo and Luke Fickell essentially trying to establish their new offense while also trying to make sure that Allen gets his touches. Now, here's what else I'll say. Offense has been come and gone, but they have put up 22 points in all of their games at least this year, and they put up 30-plus in their other three. So this Wisconsin offense, they're still being productive, but not maybe at the level that I think people realize. And the big thing for me right now that I've seen through the first four games, Tanner Mordecai has to play better. He's been running the ball pretty well, but he's been putting the ball in harm's way very, very often. And looking at Wisconsin's schedule, they should honestly win their next three games. Rutgers is 4-1. They lost to Michigan by 24, but their wins are over Northwestern, who's struggling mightily, Virginia Tech, and Wagner. After that, Wisconsin has Iowa at home. That's going to be a tough game. Not going to lie, going to be a very tough game with how defensively sound they are, but Iowa did just lose their quarterback, Cade McNamara, for the rest of the season. Iowa against a struggling offense could be reverting back to the old 10-6, if you will. That'll probably be a 13-9 game. And then after that, they travel to Illinois. This is a perfect chance for them to get revenge on Brett Bielema as well. I mean, if you really think about it, with how Brett Bielema's Illini came into Wisconsin and essentially kicked their butts through the entire game, Wisconsin now has the opportunity to go and do that to them in Illinois. They should honestly win these next three games, in my honest opinion. After those three, they got a tough one. They got Ohio State, who comes to town. That is going to be the weekend before Halloween, so October 28th, I believe it is. That'll be a big game as well. But after that, every one of their games are winnable. Indiana, Northwestern, Nebraska, and Minnesota. All of the Big Ten powers this year are in the Big Ten East because you've got Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State as well. And the biggest challenge right now to win the West is Iowa. In my opinion, if Wisconsin wins every game that they should win in Big Ten play from here on out, they should probably make it to the Big Ten championship. Will they win? Probably not. But still, getting back to the Big Ten championship game with a first-year head coach at the helm in Luke Fickell would be a huge accomplishment. Wisconsin taking on Rutgers this Saturday. Kickoff at 11 o'clock. Game will be broadcast on Peacock. Taking a look at top 25 results from over the past weekend. Number 19, Oregon State over. Number 10, Utah, 21-7. Number 8, USC surviving from Colorado, 48-41. Number 7, Penn State over Northwestern, 41-13. Number 22, Florida suffering a huge defeat at the hands of Kentucky, 33-14. Number 2, Michigan over Nebraska, 45-7. Number 3, Texas over number 24, Kansas, 40-14. Number 1, Georgia survives against Auburn, 27-20. Number 23, Missouri over Vanderbilt, 38-21. High-scoring affair between number 20, Ole Miss, and number 13, LSU, 55-49. Ole Miss wins. Number 9, Oregon knocks off Stanford, 42-6. Number 14, Oklahoma over Iowa State, 50-20. Number 21, Tennessee over South Carolina, 41-20. Pretty good game also between number 11, Notre Dame, and number 17, Duke. Notre Dame winning 21-14. Number 12, Alabama, seems like they've returned to form a bit. They defeat Mississippi State, 40-14. Number 7, Washington, edging out Arizona, 31-24. Number 25, Fresno State over Nevada, 27-9. Top 25 college football for this upcoming weekend. We got number 4, Ohio State at home against Maryland. Number 3, Texas at home against number 12, Oklahoma. Red River rivalry renewed on ABC. Another top 25 matchup, number 21, Missouri against number 23, LSU. Number 13, Washington State at UCLA. Number 5, Florida State at home against Virginia Tech. Number 14, North Carolina against Syracuse. Number 11, Alabama at Texas A&M. Top 20 matchup in the SEC again. Number 1, Georgia against number 20, Kentucky. Number 16, Ole Miss at home against Arkansas. Number 2, Michigan at Minnesota. Another top 25 matchup, number 10, Notre Dame at number 25, Louisville. That'll be the nationally televised game on ABC in primetime. Number 17, Miami at home against Georgia Tech. Number 24, Fresno State at Wyoming. Number 15, Oregon State at Cal. And number 9, USC travels to Arizona. That's a look at college football here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. You're tuned into the Sports Q. After the break, I make my NFL Week 5 predictions. This is the Sports Q here on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We're proud of our history as a century-old Wisconsin institution. Hi, I'm Sue from Crossbridge Community Bank. We stay true to the simple, community-based ideals of a mutual bank that exists to serve its people. That is true for our business customers as well. We want to provide you with everything your business needs to grow and flourish. Stop in to either our Merrill or Tomahawk locations and see what makes Crossbridge Community Bank different from the others. Maybe it's time to make the switch. A bank that puts purpose first. What's your purpose? Let us help you realize it. Visit crossbridge.bank to find out more.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs, too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Price is so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Come on, come on, choose health and motion for you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health and Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, HIMWI.com.
So come on.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Nothing like the Who on a Wednesday. Who? The Who, if you will. But I wasn't elected to read.
I pick number three.
You don't even want to read them first?
I was elected to lead, not to read. Number three.
Let's go ahead and jump in now to our week five NFL predictions. Let's jump right into it, shall we? All right, so this is the first week in the NFL where we will have teams that are on the bye week. There are four teams that are currently on the bye. That is Cleveland, the Chargers, Seattle, and Tampa Bay. Those four teams are off. Also, be sure to get your entries in for the Pro Prediction Contest here on WJJQ. Let's go ahead and start with the Thursday night game. This is going to be a stinker. Chicago, it looks like, sounds like that they're going to be firing Matt Eberflus if they end up losing to Washington, which I think they will. The Commanders, they're looking to get back in the win column after losing their last two games to some formidable opponents. They lost to Buffalo and Philadelphia. I got the Commanders winning by seven. Buffalo and Jacksonville, this is a game in London. Back-to-back games in London for Jacksonville. They defeated Atlanta. Buffalo's a much better team. I think the Bills get the win 31-17. Atlanta and Houston, this is a very intriguing matchup to me. C.J. Stroud looks like that he is the front-runner for Rookie of the Year at this point, at least on the offensive side, in my opinion. And Atlanta, they are still a very good running team. I think that they'll bounce back after losing to Jacksonville, and I think they'll get the win 27-24. Miami and the New York Giants going toe-to-toe. Miami looking to bounce back after getting their butts kicked by the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park last week. Giants are just looking for a win, period. They're looking to be competitive. Not going to happen. Dolphins win by 14. Detroit at home against Carolina. Again, the Lions, they have shown that they are probably the class of the NFC North. Carolina, they're still looking for their first win of the season under rookie quarterback Bryce Young. I've got the Lions winning this game. I do think it'll be close. I think it'll be a seven-point game. Maybe Bryce Young will throw the Lions a loop for a bit there. New Orleans at New England. New England obviously coming off a horrendous showing against Dallas. Probably the worst loss of Bill Belichick's career. I believe that is statistically correct. 35 points. The Saints coming to town. Derek Carr did play last week, but didn't necessarily play well. I do think he will play well enough to win this week. I think New England's offense has been hampered quite a bit. I got New Orleans winning by two. Indianapolis at home against Tennessee. AFC South matchup. This, to me, is a very even showdown. Tennessee has overperformed, in my opinion, so far this year. I think it stops now. I think the Colts, with a healthy Anthony Richardson, will get the victory 24-23. I do think that it'll be a very close game, though. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. It's a classic AFC North rivalry. Pittsburgh, they've gotten off to a bit of a shaky start, needless to say, especially on the offensive side. Defensively, they've been able to hang in some games and play well. I have the Ravens winning this game. I really don't think it'll be close. I think Lamar Jackson will have his way with that Steelers defense, and I think they ultimately pull out the victory 31-14. They win by 17. Going ahead, keeping it going here. We got the Philadelphia Eagles and the Los Angeles Rams going toe-to-toe. 3:05 kickoff on Fox. This is going to be a very interesting game again to me. I think the Rams have played incredibly well so far to begin the season. Only one loss, that was to San Francisco. Philadelphia undefeated. We get to see a little bit of what Philadelphia does against some stiff competition. I do have the Eagles winning this game, but I think it'll come down to the final minutes. I got them winning 28-27. Cincinnati at Arizona. The Bengals have struggled mightily, especially on the offensive end, going against Arizona, who has surprised some people. They're not winning games, but they're competing, which is the best part about this particular team. They even beat Dallas a couple weeks ago. I do think it'll be another competitive game, but I think the Bengals come out on top. If Cincinnati loses, though, hit the panic button. 28-20, Cincinnati over Arizona. Denver at home against the Jets. This is going to be a America's game of the week. This is also going to be America's disaster of the week. I think the Broncos are just a slightly better team than the Jets. I think their defense will show up against Zach Wilson, and the Broncos win by three. Kansas City and Minnesota. This is going to be a high-scoring game. I know a lot of people would probably pick Kansas City to win by multiple scores, but Minnesota, for whatever reason, Kirk Cousins always does well on the road against some of the better teams in this league. So I think it'll be a close game, but I do think that the Chiefs end up winning 38-31. Sunday night game. This is going to be a fun one. San Francisco and Dallas. In the Bay Area, the Cowboys and the 49ers both have two of the top defenses in the NFL. The big question will be for Dallas, how well will Dak Prescott perform against that Niners defense? And he has struggled mightily against him in a couple of playoff games, losing in the wild card game and the divisional game the last couple of years. Brock Purdy has performed incredibly well for San Francisco. I think it'll boil down to which quarterback plays better. And I think Brock Purdy outplays Dak Prescott. 49ers win by four. Monday night football game will have the Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night broadcast for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Monday night game is Green Bay and Las Vegas. The Packers and the Raiders, both teams looking to get back in the win column after suffering difficult losses the previous week. Packers to the Lions and Raiders to the Chargers. Davante Adams playing against his former team for the first time in his career. This is going to be intriguing. Not sure if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to go for the Raiders yet. Packers look like they're going to be getting healthy with getting Elgin Jenkins and Eric Stokes back. I'll pick Green Bay to win. I think it'll be a close one. It'll go down to the wire. Packers win 24-20. Those are my NFL Week 5 predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Cube on WJJQ.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
The Auto House in Tomahawk is your trusted destination for top-of-the-line vehicles and exceptional service. They're here to help you get ready for fall and winter driving season, and yes, it's that time of year. With a rich history, Gary and his Auto House family have been offering service to our Northwoods communities for over 40 years, and you're invited to check out the Auto House inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. Cars, trucks, SUVs, there's over 40 units to choose from. That makes your journey to find the perfect vehicle enjoyable, and more importantly, stress-free. If you need a temporary ride, Gary has you covered with a selection of rental vehicles, and if you need service on your existing vehicle or to get it ready for fall and winter driving, make an appointment with the ASC certified technician at the Auto House. Doing business the right way. The Auto House on North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at autohousecars.net. That's AutoHouseCars.net at the Auto House in Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Quick Brewers update for you. Bottom of the second, Brewers are up 2-0 on Arizona. A sacrifice fly from Sal Frelick and an RBI single by Willie Adames. That's going to wrap up the Sports Q for today here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Looking at Hatchet broadcasts and events. Coming up tomorrow, Tomahawk Hatchet Volleyball is in Wittenberg, Burnham Wood. Final non-conference match of the regular season for them. First serve is at 7 o'clock. Also, be sure, second half, the Great Northern Conference Tournament begins for them at home Saturday against Antigo, Mosinee, and Lakeland. And also be on the lookout for volleyball postseason brackets. They will be released. We'll also have Hatchet Playoff Sports broadcasts all season long on WJJQ. Tomahawk Girls swimming in action at Lady Smith at 5:30 tomorrow night. Next football broadcast is on Friday. Tomahawk travels down to Westfield. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35. Kickoff at 7 o'clock from Pioneer Field. Scott Nye will join me in the broadcast booth. And then we'll also have Tomahawk Hatchet Cross Country with their home meet at Inshalla Country Club, obviously hearing Connor Aaron speak earlier in the show. Fairman Orthodontic Coaches Show, 9:40. First events begin at 10 o'clock. I will be at Inshalla Country Club providing updates throughout the morning and afternoon Saturday. Now taking a look also at week 7, if you will, or week 8, I guess you could say, of the Northwoods Football and Great Northern Conference schedules. Obviously, Tomahawk has Westfield. Very big game in the Northwoods Football Conference. O'Connell Falls at Crennan. That game will determine who wins the Northwoods Football Conference title, in my opinion. Coleman is in Clintonville today. Both teams fighting for a playoff spot as well. Crivets off this week. They were supposed to play against Northland Pines. That game resulted in a forfeit. To the Great Northern Conference, Hayward is in Lakeland. Mosinee and Medford will play for the Great Northern Conference title this Friday. Both teams clinched a playoff spot. Antigo is in Ashland. And Rhinelander travels down to Merrill. Thank you once again for joining in on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Thanks again to Hunter Baumgart, Justin Garcia, and Connor Aarons for joining me on today's show. Have a sportacular day, and I'll see you next week. See ya!
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.